Last week on the Let the Bible Speak program, we talked about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. This morning on the program, I want to talk about Jesus, the Divine Christ. Thank you for joining us, and I hope that our lesson will encourage you to believe and obey Jesus Christ. And if you're already doing that, to keep doing that throughout your life. We've been looking at important Bible passages in the Old and New Testament that teach the greatness of God and the greatness of Jesus Christ. I've been doing that for the past few weeks on the program in order to get us serious about the God and Jesus that we need to be serving. We live in a community, in a world where just many people live their lives from day to day, and it does not include God or Jesus. One way that I believe that a person can be changed in that matter is for them to come to a realization of how great God and Jesus really are. And the only way I know to do that is to go to God's Word, the Bible, and get them to see that greatness. So last week in John chapter 10, 1 through 18, we looked at Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Let's look at John 10, 19 through 42, and let's look at Jesus, the Divine Christ. We need to let Jesus be the Good Shepherd to guide us like sheep, to guide us all the way to heaven. We need to have humility and obedience and let Jesus be that Good Shepherd out front leading us. And we also need to understand that Jesus is not just a man. Many of the Jews, as we're going to see today, viewed him as just a man. And he was not. He was more than that. He was the divine Son of God. He was one in nature and deity and divinity with God. And that'll come out in today's lesson. I'm so glad that you are studying. If we have regular listeners, if you join us every week, I am encouraged by that. I appreciate that. But mostly we don't want just simply listening. We want obedience. And so if I can encourage you to do that, I hope I can do that. We're going to pick up the reading in John chapter 10 and verse 19. There arose a division again among the Jews because of these words. These words were the words where Jesus was talking about how that he's the great shepherd. And many of them said, "He has a demon and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Others said, "These are not the sayings of one possessed with a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now, Jesus had healed the blind man back in chapter 9, and that's what this is talking about. And there was a division with Jesus. John chapter 7, 8, 9, and the first part of chapter 10 all come from the fall of the year when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the temple for the Feast of Tabernacles, which would be our late September, early October. So John 7, 8, 9, and 10 are that occasion. On that occasion, Jesus healed a blind man and told him, he spit in his eyes and told him and put clay and anointed his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, the Jews eventually learned about that, but they would not accept that miracle. They didn't want to follow Jesus. So there was a division. And that really sets up the idea for today's lesson. Some people truly believe in Jesus Christ and obey him. Others do not. Friend, what side of the equation will you be on? What side of that division will you be on? Will you be on the side of truth or the side of error? Will you be on the side of accepting Jesus or rejecting him? Will you be on the side of obedience or on the side of disobedience? Which will you be? Jesus always divides, not necessarily because he himself is a divisive person, but because he preaches the truth, and truth divides. Some people love the truth, some people do not love the truth. And so what side of that equation will you be on? Let me help you to be on that side of obedience. So when Jesus is in the temple at the Feast of Tabernacles, and he's preaching and teaching, he's working this miracle, some are accepting him, some are not. And the ones that typically do not are the religious leaders of the day. They've already got their mind made up that they don't want to follow Jesus. They view him as a rival to them. They don't like him. And there's other reasons why they don't accept him. The ones that typically accept Jesus are the humble individuals who they see the truth, they know the truth, they recognize the truth, and they just simply want to follow Jesus. So what side of that division will you be on? Now we come to John chapter 10 and verse 22. It was at the feast of dedication at Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in Solomon's porch. The Jews therefore came round about him and said unto him, "How long do you hold us in suspense? If thou art the Christ, tell us plainly." Now, John gives us some background to this part of John chapter 10. He said it was the feast of dedication at Jerusalem, and it was winter. So we need to fast forward about 3 months. So in John 7, 8, 9, and the first part of 10, this is the fall of the year, late September, early October. Now, in John 10, 22, it's the month of December. It's the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And so now we're up to December. The feast of dedication was one of two Jewish feasts that were not originally authorized by the law of Moses. The feast of Purim in the book of Esther, and this feast of dedication, which came from what we call the intertestamental period. And it was 8 days of lights in the month of December. You may have heard of the Jewish celebration of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the word meaning dedication, and it's 8 days of light. What happened was, about 143 BC, this is what we call the intertestamental period, a man named a Jewish leader, a very religious man, a very devout man in serving the Lord, his name was Judas Maccabeus, and he went into the temple to rededicate it around 143 BC. He took others with him, and the temple had been disgraced and dishonored by Greeks, Gentiles, who had gone into the temple and profaned it and desecrated it. These Greeks were called the Seleucids. They were from one of the generals of Alexander the Great, who died about 330 BC. He had generals, different generals, and one of them was a general who was living up in Syria, known as Seleucus. And his lineage, his family, eventually came into Palestine and took over, because they were a powerful people, took over Jerusalem and the temple. And they desecrated it on purpose, to purposely antagonize the Jews. They brought in pigs and swine and offered up pigs as sacrifices. This was a desecration to the Jews, because the pig was an unclean animal. And so they purposely did that, and other things. They desecrated any scrolls of the law of Moses. They tried to get rid of all the scrolls of the law of Moses. They caused a lot of problems. Well, some Jews who were very devout in serving God, they go into the temple and they run out these Seleucids. And it's not just on a one-day situation. It was over years. It was wars, revolts, fighting, and it's called the Maccabean Wars. And around 143 BC, these faithful Jews, dedicated Jews, rededicate the temple to the way it's supposed to be. And so this was called the Feast of Dedication in honor of Judas Maccabeus. And it was 8 days of light, because there is a tradition, we don't know if it's true or not, but the Jewish tradition was that when the Maccabees went into the temple in this revolt, they found a very small amount of oil. There was no oil at all to burn the lamps and the lights of the menorah and the candlestick, but there was just a small amount of oil, enough for just one day. But it miraculously, according to this Jewish tradition, actually lasted 8 days, much longer than it was supposed to. So that's why at Hanukkah, they celebrate 8 days of light. Well, Jesus is in Jerusalem at this time. We're not told if he was there to observe this feast or not. We're just told that he's there and he's walking in the temple. And these Jews ask him, "How long do you hold us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." Now, what's interesting about this with regard to the background and the Feast of Dedication, the whole Feast of Dedication was a feast, 8 days of light, commemorating Jews who wanted to be dedicated to God. They wanted themselves to be dedicated. They wanted to get back to following the law. They wanted the temple to be dedicated to the way it was supposed to be in worship to God. The irony of that is that in Jesus' day, the temple had been turned into a place of business. It had been turned into a den of thieves and robbers, according to Jesus, and it was not dedicated at all truly to God. And that's the irony of that. And not only that, but these Jews who are celebrating this, you know, several days of being dedicated to God, a part of being dedicated to God is to believe and obey His Son who came in the flesh, and they wouldn't do that. So there's a lot of irony going on here. During the days in which they're saying that they're dedicated to God, they're showing that they're really not dedicated to God. But they asked Jesus, "How long do you hold us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do, the works being the miracles that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me." Jesus had told them on more than one occasion who he was. We don't have time this morning to go back and look at all of those occasions. One of them was back in John chapter 8, just about 3 months earlier, back in the Feast of Dedication, John 8:58, and they would have remembered this statement, I'm sure. He said, "Before Abraham was born, I am," present tense. He existed before Abraham, who was some 1,800 years before the time of Christ. John 1 and verse 1, "He was in the beginning. The Word was God, and the Word was with God, and all things were created by Him." He is the divine Son of God. And Jesus, on different occasions, told who He was. But they didn't want to accept that. And friends, I want you to think this morning about this. This is very important. There's a lot of people who want to talk about Christ and ask questions about Christ and have some casual conversation about Christ, but they really don't want to believe and obey Him. Friends, don't be like that. You've got to move past the casual interest and, you know, knowing a little bit of this and a little bit of that about Jesus, but get serious about obeying Him while you can. These Jews like to ask questions and make conversation, but they didn't want to get up and obey. And there's a lot of people who are like that today. Verse 26, "But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Again, this is about the month of December. A few months earlier, in John chapter 10, at the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus taught them that He was the Good Shepherd, and that His sheep follow Him. And they probably would have remembered that conversation as well, only about 3 months earlier. So He's reminding them again that they need to be His sheep. So they don't believe, verse 26, "because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." Notice that there's both a condition and a promise. There's both a responsibility and a blessing. We can have the blessing of eternal life. We can have the blessing of being protected by God. But it comes based upon the condition and the responsibility. Number one, that we hear Jesus' voice and that we follow Him. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, meaning I have fellowship with them. I condone them. I'm accepting of them. And they follow me. Notice they hear my voice and they follow me. A lot of people, they want to talk about the Bible and, let me hear what the verse says, but they don't want to do the following, the obeying part. Friend, let me encourage you to do that. You know, there's a lot of people today, I'll go to church, and they'll leave. Well, that was a good sermon, preacher. And some people will maybe in time of need, or maybe a family member dies or there's a grave illness or something, they might pick up a Bible and read a psalm or something. And that's great. I would encourage that. But you've got to do more than that. So you've got to hear Jesus and follow him, and then we'll have that promise of eternal life, which starts now with forgiveness of sins, and it ultimately ends with a home in heaven. And between now and heaven, no one can be snatched out of the Father's hand. What a great promise that is. So, the first thing that Jesus addresses here is, I've told you who I am, but you don't want to hear and follow. We've got to hear and follow. Now, with regard to Jesus being the divine Christ or the divine Son of God, here is where Jesus is going to challenge their thinking. He's already challenged them by saying, you are not my sheep. Boy, they probably bristled at that, thinking, well, we don't need to be following you anyway. But then he's going to challenge them even further. Verse 30, I and the Father are one. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus is not saying the numerical number one. He's saying that he and the Father are unified. There is a denomination called the Oneness Pentecostals or the United Pentecostal Church. They believe one person in the Godhead. That one person is the Father, he is also the Son, and he's also the Holy Spirit. And they use this passage to try to teach that. That's not what's going on here. Jesus is talking about his Father as a separate being, but he's united with his Father. They are one. They're one in nature. They are one in purpose. They are one in works. They are one in their words. They're one in their goal of what they're wanting to accomplish with mankind. They are one and the same. And the Jews took up stones to stone him. Why? Well, let's look at it. Verse 32. Jesus answered, many good works have I showed you from the Father. He had done many miracles, including this healing of the blind man just a few months before. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou hast, being a man, maketh thyself God. Here is their problem. They viewed Jesus as just simply a man and not the divine Son of God. And that's the problem that many people have today. They accept Jesus as a person. They accept Jesus as an historical figure. He was a pretty good fella. He was a Jewish teacher that had some interesting things to say, but he's not the divine Son of God. And they do that so that they don't have to follow him. He's just another man like Buddha or Confucius or Muhammad or, you know, some interesting person with interesting things to say. Plato or Aristotle or Socrates, kind of like a Jewish philosopher guy. But I don't have to obey him. That's why many people will not accept Jesus as the divine Son of God. It's their way of not having to obey him. And so these Jews are doing the same thing. You're just a man. Well, look at what Jesus does. Jesus answers and says, is it not written in your law? And then he quotes Psalm 82, verse 6. Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If you turn back to Psalm 82 and verse 6, it's a psalm talking about the Jewish judges, men who were in the court system, and they were to judge fairly and righteously. They were not to judge using respect of persons. And in Psalm 82, it's a short psalm, these judges, these Jewish men, are called gods. And also in Psalm 82 and verse 6, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High, showing their important relationship as a judge. So the Jews had no problem calling fellow judges gods and sons of the Most High. They didn't have any problem with that, but they didn't like Jesus calling himself the Son of God. So Jesus said, is it not written in your law? And I said, you are gods. If he, God, called them gods, these judges, these human judges, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. It's true. You cannot overturn what it says. Say ye of him, that's Jesus, whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. You call these men gods and sons of the Most High, but I'm not allowed to claim the Son of God. You're being inconsistent, in other words. So Jesus shows that they were logically inconsistent. Verse 37, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do them, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. That's the same statement that he was making earlier. I and the Father are one. But if you're not going to believe me, believe the miracles and that God is working miracles. They wouldn't even accept that. There were times when they spoke and acted like they didn't even want to accept the miracle that was right in front of their eyes. A few months after this, in the next chapter, chapter 11 and 12, fast forward another 3 months to about April. This is the Passover. So we have the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. We have the Feast of Dedication in December. We have the Passover around April. So we have about 6 months period of time here, roughly. Jesus is going to raise Lazarus in John chapter 11. And they tried to get rid of Lazarus so that he was not walking proof of a miracle. They simply would not believe. Some of them did. When they beheld what was done, they believed. But the hardened Pharisees especially would not do it. And so here's the point, friends. Jesus, last week we saw that he was the good shepherd, emphasizing he's guiding us. He is the divine Son of God. He's the divine Christ. He's more than just a man. You and I need to hear and believe and obey Jesus Christ. And that begins with what Jesus said, Luke 13:5, repent. That includes confessing him, Matthew chapter 10. That includes being baptized for the remission of our sins. He said in Mark 16:15-16, in the preaching of the gospel, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It begins there and it continues with a faithful life, living that faithful Christian life. But you don't need to go through life just having some casual question or comment about Jesus or a casual understanding of Jesus. You've got to do more. You've got to hear and believe and obey and follow. And that's what these Jews didn't want to do. They wanted to argue. They wanted to ask questions. They wanted to make comments. But they didn't want to believe and obey. And friends, I want to encourage you to do that. That's what you need to do today. You've got to do more than just accept that Jesus is a man. He's not just a historical figure. He is God in the flesh. And you and I need to be busy hearing his voice, believing and obeying him. And that's the whole purpose of John in writing this book, and often to bring out the miracles of Jesus. In John chapter 20, verse 30, many other signs or miracles therefore did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So it is very important. And even some people say, well, believing is just accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. Well, it starts with mentally accepting things. Belief means trust or confidence. But it's not just something in our mind. We have to get up and do some things. And in this very book that we're reading from in John chapter 10, in this very book, if you back up to John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus at night, he said, you must be born of water and spirit, meaning water baptism and obedience to the words of the Spirit. When he talked about to Nicodemus being born again, you've got to be born of water. It includes being baptized into Christ. Very, very important. That's a part. When John talks about belief, it's not just simply mental assent, but obedience. In this same book, the well-known John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus said the same thing here. But notice in John 3:16, believes on him will have eternal life. But in John 10, it's hear my voice and follow me. That's obedience. What does that lead to? Eternal life, you see. Later in John 3, come down to verse 36, he that believes on the Son has eternal life, but he that obeys not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. So we believe and obey, or we disbelieve and we obey not. So I hope that in our lesson today, we see Jesus as more than just a man. They saw him just as a man, and they wanted to stone him. They said, well, you're blaspheming. No, he and the Father are one. And Jesus demonstrated that before he came in the creation of the world. He demonstrated that he was deity after he came. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2, 9. He is God. John 1 and verse 1. So that's how we need to accept him. So in verse 39, they sought again to take him, and he went forth out of their hand. And he went away again beyond the Jordan into the place where John was at first baptizing, and there he abode. And many came unto him, and they said, John indeed did no sign or miracle, but all things whatsoever John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. I want to close with this contrast, and that is, earlier we were reading about Jewish leaders who would believe not. Now we're reading, many believed on him. What's the difference? Well, there are people who will believe and obey. In the life of Jesus, they typically were the common, ordinary individual who was humble. On another occasion, the gospel writer said, the common people heard him gladly. These Jewish leaders, they're hardened. They don't want to have anything to do with him, but the common, ordinary people do. And friend, that needs to be you, and that needs to be me. So let's come and hear the words of Jesus, believe those words, and follow him each and every day. Let me encourage you to do that before it's too late. You can start doing that now. Why? So that we can have that promise of eternal life and that protection from God. But it begins by hearing and following Jesus. If I can help you to do that and we can sit down and study that together, let's do that very thing. If you're already following, let me encourage you to keep doing that. It leads all the way to eternal life. I want to thank you for being with us on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.